What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Coin Empire Podcast. Mel and I are here with Wes and Wes from Empire Gold and Silver, and today we're going to talk about current events. So what do you guys think about, obviously, inflation is the highest it's been in quite some time. Groceries are going up, and seems like, you know, people are not getting paid very much more, but everything else is going up. Would you say that that has helped your business? Or has hurt your business?
I mean, I would say, you know, at first, it helped because everybody's scared to death of inflation. You know, they try to trying to keep the money that they've earned by, you know, buying some sort of asset that goes up with inflation.
Right.
So really, like, it's been going on. I mean, it's just in the news here in the last 2 months, 3 months, whatever. But it's been happening over the last year at least.
Right.
So, it made business really good. People realized what was going on. Since, you know, the Fed stepped in and started raising rates, it has actually pushed the price of gold down.
Mm-hmm.
Business is still good, but it's kind of scared some people away from gold, you know? So,
gotcha.
But there's nowhere to put your money currently. So that's the problem.
Right. And I think that sometimes people can, like, go hard on something and then be like, okay, I have what I need. So now it's just like business as usual, or it's like, now I got to be super frugal now that I like have my nest egg or whatever.
We talked to some guys this weekend that are losing in gold, crypto, and stocks. So it's having a, we're having a bad day.
Oh, and your cash is worth less every day.
Yep.
So, it's a tough situation. I mean, sometimes you literally cannot do anything about it. You know, there are some things you can do to avoid taking a loss, but right now it's like, there's nowhere to hide.
For me, it's like you just have to keep reminding yourself, like, it's the long game. Like,
for sure.
It will bounce back, and I just need to keep being smart, do my thing, not be, like, reckless, but just be smart and chill, especially with the stock market. Like, it's going to be down right now, but you got to just chill.
Yeah.
Like, don't pull everything out.
Yeah. So, really, technically, it's a buying opportunity. Cost average down.
Right.
But most people are just shell-shocked and, you know, the thing you don't want to do is pull your money out.
Right.
You know, if you don't have to have it, leave it.
Yeah, I think so. So I used to work at Aldi before I came here, and Taylor that works here also used to work at Aldi with me. And we were talking about how, like, the Aldi fines that are like the, you know, here today, gone tomorrow type of thing, where they normally sell out really quick and they, you know, restock every week with different items, blah, blah, blah. Well, normally they sell out very quick, but they've been having to, like, consolidate the shelves because there's so many Aldi Finds products because everyone is just getting groceries.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're up 10-15% just on groceries, especially, like, you know, meat, certain produce, dairy products, the staples are up really high. And so it's like, okay, well, we're going to skip on that, you know, extra cabinet set because like everything's so expensive. And so I think, you know, commodity sales and you know, gold and silver and stuff, like, people like to get their hands on that. They're like, okay, cool, this is more consistent, especially, like, right now than cash is.
Sure.
Well, have you seen more people coming in wanting to sell their stuff because they need the money?
I would say we've seen some panic selling. You know, people who bought over the last year who bought silver at $28, $29. And so, you know, I think the logic of a lot of people, and especially people who aren't very seasoned traders, you know, they buy it and then you watch it every day and it drops.
Yep.
And the first thing is, oh, it's okay, it's coming back. Then it drops some more. And then you say, oh, okay, well, it's going to come back, you know. And they finally get to a point where they capitulate and then they'll dump it at the absolute lowest point. So we've seen some of that happening. But, I mean, we've got some smart people are coming in and buying. You know, they're not coming in like the day it drops a dollar and spending $50,000. You know, they're buying $10,000, wait, see what happens. You know, it drops a little more, they'll buy some more. So
do you ever try and, like, sway anyone to be like, bro, just hang out a little longer?
Oh, all the time. I mean, I feel like, probably, and I don't know, Wes, you may see it different. I mean, I feel like I try to give my honest opinion to people, even if I talk myself out of a sale. I would rather give somebody what I would say is good advice than to sell them something today at too much money, you know, with I guess knowing, not knowing because you don't know what it's going to do, but with feeling expecting, like it's going to continue to fall, or, you know, I don't want to sell somebody something knowing that it's going to do something else tomorrow, or what I would perceive.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense. That was really convoluted.
And, I mean, just the other day, you know, you had somebody who was wanting to spend a good bit, and you honestly told them, like, hey, I'd hold off, like, maybe a week or two just to see how things settle out. And so, I mean,
Well, I think people appreciate that.
For sure.
And, I mean, and listen, I could be wrong, you know.
Sure.
But worst case scenario, you didn't hit it at the very bottom, you know. Yeah. So it's hard to pick the top, and it's hard to pick the bottom.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you say that you guys have, like, changed your strategy at all, or, like, been more conservative, or just business as usual?
I would say business as usual.
Yeah.
I mean, we're trading all the time. So, you know, we may buy something today and tomorrow it's worth less and we're losing a little bit of money, but inevitably we replace it and buy something else. And, you know, at some point it's not going to keep going down. It's going to recover. So whatever we bought the next day is going to be worth
profit.
Double.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things.
I like that Palladium bar that we bought like $600 ago.
More than that. Yeah, we have a 1 ounce Palladium bar. Just random. I think I got.
That's like, how much is that? It's a lot.
Well, I mean, it was near $3,000 when I bought it. And currently it's sitting around $1,800 or $1,900.
Oh, yeah.
So that, if it gets real bad, I just put it in my personal collection.
Right.
So that way I can justify the loss.
Yeah. All right. Palladium's a sore subject, I guess. Yeah,
so how do you keep your personal stuff, like, at your office? And how do you say, like, okay, this is my personal stuff, and this is, like, my business stuff?
I have a different safe for personal stuff. Secret location. Yes.
Yeah.
Super secret.
Yeah.
So does Wes here have, like full access other than your personal stuff?
Wes runs the show. I just work for him.
Wait.
No, he's trusted. I mean, he can pretty much do anything I can do. Just not better.
Except buy diamonds.
Not like
don't work on that.
Except for buy diamonds.
So, yeah, he has full access. There's not many people that have that. Congratulations.
Right. Just the privilege.
I just do my best.
So what would you say your title was?
Whenever I had to put it on stuff recently, it's been like retail manager.
that's not good. You're an executive. It has to be executive something. It just sounds better.
Yeah. Because I did a personal loan just to consolidate some stuff recently, and I put retail manager because I was like, I don't really know what my job
title. I mean, I guess that
that's what I put on mine. I say manager, even though I feel like more than that. But
Lewis, sure. Multiple things. So.
Yeah, Lewis used to always use chief numismatist or senior numismatist.
Vault manager.
Oh, yeah. I was vault manager.
Vault master.
Vault master. Master. That's what it was.
That's what you are. You're
like
vault
manager?
Master.
No. Vault master.
Yeah. That's way better.
Yeah.
Do you guys not have a management structure, really?
We only have, 8 employees? So, I mean, there's a hierarchy.
Sure.
You know.
For sure. This is going to sound silly, but, I mean, we don't really have, a game plan. We just know what to do when they come in. We show up and do business. It's kind of like how we go to coin shows. We're like, we're here.
You're like, all right, guys, let's go.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, me and Wes handle the retail office in Fort Oglethorpe, and then my brother and another employee handle the one over in Chattanooga, and then we have a couple of guys who float, or they're doing the running to pick up stuff, deliver stuff like that, so.
Do you think, I know Amanda is kind of involved mm-hmm. with the business, but it sounds like there's a lot of guys that works with you.
It's a male-dominated business, for sure. And Amanda helps out, too. She does a lot of our advertising and doing, our ads and stuff that we run. She helps out on the retail side in the Chattanooga store as well. But, Amanda and my daughter are really the only two women, which... That's a higher percentage than I would say industry-wide it is. You know, we have probably one more woman than anybody else does. So.
Yeah.
A lot of the women who do, delve into this are very, very good at it.
Yeah, super successful.
Like, there's a girl who's on the panel for the fun show, the mm-hmm. Florida United Numismatist show, she's 20?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
wow.
Oh, did she win? I know she was running for the board.
Yep.
That's great. I'm glad for her.
20, that's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't know why. I mean, I always see women walking around with their husbands at coin shows, and they're like, oh, God, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know why it is. I don't know.
Sure.
Men just enjoy, like, more historical stuff, or I don't know. It's dominated by men, for sure.
Not that I claim to be a feminist or anything. Like, I think, you know, whoever can do the best at the job deserves the job, whether you're a guy or a girl. But women are made differently. Like, our brains are different, so we can bring different things to the table. If you did have, you know, more of like a female presence, like, what do you think something that they could bring that maybe some men couldn't?
Organization.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, that's the first one I thought of. Organization is number one. I don't, you know, I feel like it's really hard for me to multitask, and I feel like most men, you know, get tunneled in on something. It's hard to do three different things, and women are really good at that. My wife finds everything I've lost in the house.
Yep.
So, you know, definitely organizational. And I think that, because this is really general, I mean, I feel like women are really good salespeople. I think they're better than men for the most part. They're better at disarming people, in my opinion. I mean, there's a lot of things that I feel like women are much stronger in, especially in our industry, than the men are.
Sometimes when I talk to customers, I get the feeling, and maybe this is just in my head, that they don't necessarily trust what I'm saying as much as they would trust a guy saying it. And I think also part of that is my age.
True.
Is,
I mean,
like, you know, these older guys are like, well, you're, you know, I was working a 40-hour job before you were born, kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I see that happen too a lot. You know, sometimes, like, when I was young, I would have that happen, even though I'm a male. But, they have, you know, these guys who are, like, 70 years old, who've been doing the business forever, would talk down to me, or they wouldn't take me serious. And I just found out how to use that against them.
Sure.
You know, sometimes playing stupid can make you a lot of money. So, yeah, I mean, I've been there before, too. So,
so how is your organization, speaking of?
It's probably top in the industry.
Top 1%.
Top 1%, yeah.
We're doing our best.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is not good. So
it's like for coin shows, I made a supply list, and I have to stick to that very strictly.
Yeah.
And, like, I have to make myself sit down, and I have to do it all right then. If I'm, like, trying to do it here and there, like, I'll end up forgetting something.
Like a supply list as far as, like, product that you're bringing, or, like, our cases and pens, paper, stuff like
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the supply list for coins is literally just raking the stuff off the shelf in the safe that we want to bring.
It's like, what do we have right now?
Yeah. It's different all the time. So,
what do you think a better organization could do for you? Or the coin business in general?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody can figure it out, you know, give me a call, because it's pretty tough. But, I mean, if you were organized and you knew what you had all the time, I mean, you know, listen, people call all the time. They're like, hey, do you got this? Maybe,
sure.
You know, probably, yeah. But I got to find it. But I mean, I think it would definitely help you make more sales, number one. And number two, it just gives you an idea of where you're at overall, especially inventory wise and things like that. So I don't know what the answer is. I'm not 100% sure anybody does. I mean, there may be somebody out there like Atmex or Littleton who knows what they're doing and they have it, down to a T, but they also have huge amount of employees versus me and Wes are literally doing everything.
Yeah.
And so, if you want to be like a supplier for the U.S. Mint, they actually come in and like do an audit and everything, and you have to have everything like barcoded.
Okay.
Like everything has its place. Like they want it to be a certain way, and I feel like that's nigh impossible to do. But some people have done it. But
yeah, I mean, I feel like if you only deal in so many products,
right,
it can be done.
Right.
But like for us, I'll buy things I don't know anything about.
Sure.
You know, and the variety of what we buy is so big. You know, I don't know how to organize it.
Yeah. It's like you'd have things on the shelves and then you'd have the miscellaneous bucket and it would be just maxed out.
It would all be miscellaneous.
Exactly.
Because like I have two of these. I'm not going to make a plate. place.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of carts where we labeled buckets and we have stuff to where we sort stuff out. So that's getting a little bit better.
Yeah, you can do stuff like that. And we didn't do that forever and ever. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should come up with that's a good business.
I mean,
yeah, I was talking to Gina about that. I said, Gina, if you can crack this code, there is a market, mm-hmm. coin dealers that you just like, you know, like specialize in going in. Yeah. It's like a home edit, but coin edition. Because I've watched their, I watch their show. I love their show.
Yep.
And I asked Luke, I said, if we were going to have them do one room at ChatCoin, which room would we pick?
Yeah.
And he was like, I think it's impossible to pick any room.
Yeah.
Like,
I also think like you have to have some sort of level of knowledge base to even be able to group them together. And like, you know, on the home edit, they don't know about a lot of stuff. So like, you know, they did a shoe collection and they're like, we don't know the difference between Nikes and Air Jordans. And we don't know, like, we just don't know anything. So like, we probably put the shoes in the wrong spot. They're organized and they look nice, but like, they're probably not categorized like a collection would be.
Like, how would you say, oh, okay, I need this. How do we get to that? You know, and there's, be anywhere, but it looks good, you know. So and not everybody sorts things the same way.
Sure.
It's just so many different variables. It's just
we've had to come up with, like, you know, how do we organize it? Do we organize it by denomination? Do we organize it by grading company? Do we organize it by grades? Like, do we put all the 70s over here and then mix in the grading companies? And how do we do it? And I mean, we really just, it depends on the coin.
Sure.
And
yeah,
that's our biggest battle, I think, when it comes to organizing is, you know, some of the people not knowing what they're dealing with, and like obviously the graded stuff is easier to organize.
For sure.
For sure.
And then when it comes to like the specialty, especially like foreign stuff that we can't even read the language that's on there, that gets really tricky.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. Like it's an overwhelming thing to think about. So I usually think about it for about 5 seconds and forget it.
Yeah. I was like, I could take like Wes's knowledge and Gina's organization skills and make that one person, like that would be perfect.
Well, yeah. I was, like I said, I've been doing Mishap Proof Set for a few days. And like, I was thinking, I was thinking about that. Like, there's definitely a market for this type of work. But it's, you need at least a decent knowledge base. If like, someone isn't going to be there with you, like, oh, this is that, and then you're like, okay, cool, now we can make it work. Because like you said, you can make it look super nice, you can make it work where you can walk all the aisles and everything, but like, can you find the product?
Yeah,
like you need both.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's definitely
and I've had to go
for sure,
I've had to go behind people and been like, hey, I really appreciate this, but now you've put the proofs with the uncirculated and I need them to be separated,
right?
And
they used to drive me nuts.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry for the extra work, but
that's the knowledge part. You know, they just probably didn't know. So
yeah, they didn't even read the box.
Yep.
But it's okay. It's all right.
Just saw 98.
Right, exactly. Look at the year. All right, cool. All goes together. I mean, we just, there was a ton of quarter proof sets in there. And it's like, all right, these don't belong in here. These belong with the quarters. So it's like,
there
was all
quarters
those
in there.
Yeah, it's just like, they were just stacked on top of the other year, like 2009 proofs, 2009 quarter proofs. And it's like, no, we're not doing it like that. No. So it's that's a multi-million-dollar idea for sure, but not sure who's ready to crack that yet.
Yeah,
the business has been around for a while, so I don't know if anyone's ready for it.
There was a company that we tried that had a software for coin dealers that we tried it, just like bind it in that way. But there's just some stuff that whoever did it didn't have a great knowledge of the coin business because they left like commonly traded stuff out of there, so we kept on having to edit it, like, oh, we had to put wartime nickels in, or we had to put this in, and it was just, it just became such a headache that we ended up not using it. So.
It just becomes labor intensive, and it's just like time consuming. Like something that would take 5 minutes to do is now taking 20 minutes, 30 minutes to do something simple. So, I have to weigh what my time's worth.
Sure,
you know, and I'm expensive, so
yeah.
I can't take 20 minutes to input some silver dollars that usually take me 5 minutes.
Yeah,
but it's so satisfying when it's organized and then you get an order for it and you go right where it is and it takes 5 seconds.
I agree wholeheartedly. The problem is, I found, is when somebody else put something in and put it in the wrong place, and then when you go to pull it, it's wrong.
And then
that's
even
not
more
satisfying.
Mad. That's not satisfying. Yeah, it's like once you get the system, you have to just drill it into everyone's skulls because it's just...
And you can't let up. You have
to
do it all the time.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, today I'll just go back to the old way. It's like, no, if you don't keep up with it, it's ruined. Yeah. And all that work was for nothing.
Yeah.
If you get stuff mixed up.
Or you don't know how much you have of something and like you get an order for it and you're out.
Yeah, that would never happen here.
Which, that's really hard. And we were talking about that the other day. It was like, you know, if Amazon called you as many times as we call people saying, hey, actually, we don't have 10, we have 9, or hey, we don't have this year, we have this year, I'd stop ordering from them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I hate calling customers and telling them that, and then they get frustrated. But at the same time, I mean, I feel like a lot of people deal with that problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, we're not scaring customers away because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, well, number one, it's gotten exponentially better since we literally completely started from scratch with the new website.
Yeah.
I mean, we went from 8,000 plus items to probably 1,000, maybe, probably in the 500 to 1,000 range of items, different items. And I would say it's roughly probably it's 90% right, maybe even a little bit higher. Like it's pretty accurate, and we're about to redo some of it anyway, and we're adding new items, but because obviously we were definitely like that, where it's just
and Wes,
so
I'm sure you remember that too,
to customers.
That's all. I feel like it's better to do 1,000 items really well than 8,000.
Yeah,
not
absolutely
very good at all,
especially when you don't even have 8,000 items anymore. You have 4,000, and people are ordering what you don't have, and then you're calling them. Hey, we don't have that. We have something similar, because in the coin business, there's always something similar. Maybe they want it, maybe they don't. And I will say, like with older people, in our experience at least, they typically aren't super duper mad about that. They're like more chill. But like you said, our generation, like if you called me once or twice about an item, like you'd lose my business.
Yeah.
Like Amazon might get a little bit of slack, but if it was like just like a regular small business website, like you'd probably lose my business just because it's inconvenient and I don't want you to call me. I'm not going to call you back. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Email me.
Yeah, exactly. Text me. You know, I'm a millennial. So, like, I think that generation it gives a little bit more leeway for that, but that's not an excuse to be negligent with how you do business, I guess.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I was going to ask you a little bit about your shipping. And obviously, the post office has been just raising their prices, I don't know, once a week, it feels like.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you guys do that? Actually, I have that question, and I have one more question after that.
The quick answer is by discount postage.
That's what I told
her. it's kind of a pain to use, to be quite honest.
How does it work exactly?
I'm not sure where people get this stuff from. I feel like it's like businesses buy this postage, and maybe they go bankrupt or they go out of business, and it's like an asset that they can sell. So they'll sell it at a discount, and somehow they sell them to coin dealers. I don't know why. Mm. But anyway, so there's coin dealers out there. Like, we bought like $12,000 worth of discount postage. They were like stamps. They were $5.66 stamps that were self-sticking. And we bought them at like 50%, 55% of face. So about half.
Okay,
so,
nice.
You know, it kind of sucks to like have to put stamps on stuff. And then you have to have smaller stamps, you know, to try to make it exactly what you need.
Right.
Or to the best you can.
Sure.
But, I mean, that's one good way if you need to save on shipping.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, you know, we're talking about time is money earlier. It takes a lot more time to do. And sometimes it's easier just to go to stamps.com, print that label, and get it out the door.
Sure.
Sometimes that's what we do because we're pressed for time. But
and you're talking about, you know, a lot more money up front to buy a large quantity, right?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you listen, if you can buy it at half and if you have the money, you do it because, I mean, you saved $6,000.
Right.
And you're going to use it.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's the quick answer. I don't know as far as, we ship FedEx too, and we ship UPS. I don't know. None of them have been great lately. So
agreed.
Yeah, the post office has been the worst. We had one customer, you know, he said he's still getting rolls of pennies and put in his mailbox by the postman because one of the boxes busted.
Yeah,
a lot of boxes bust.
You know, one of our favorite customers who's buying our modern pennies by the roll. And he buys a lot. So
luckily, he's very nice, very understanding. Yeah. But like, we, you know, 40-pound boxes, and like, you know, we tape them super duper duper well, and like, sometimes they bust. Sometimes, like, I think his postwoman just hates him and like tries to break him at this point. But we had another customer get a 35-pound penny bag. It arrived empty. Like, someone stole the bag out of the box. So it's just an empty box.
Yeah.
And then we shipped another one, and it just never got delivered. Mysteriously.
Yeah, that happens. It's in Atlanta.
it's all
that's
Atlanta.
That's where our stuff was.
Yeah, so when we ship, we use it, like, especially if you use, like, flat rate. Y'all use medium flat rate?
Right, yeah.
Y'all use nesting boxes that slide inside?
So we were, when we were doing the largest for one of that penny customer, we were using, like, the large, the medium side of the large kind of thing.
I'll hook you up. We have a supplier that has they fit perfect, and it's, like, double walled.
And so strapping tape is your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure. I use strapping tape. I strap the hell out of it. Yeah. I'm like, I want to be like, I dare you to bust open.
Yeah,
I dare you to try it.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about, like, we use Shopify, and you get, like, I think it's like a $2 discount on, like, the medium or the small flat rate, which is solid. But
that's good.
And so that saves us a little bit, and we can do a little bit more on the insurance and still, like, save a little bit of money, which is nice. But it's a lot to ship it. And so luckily, when we did our new website, we also updated the shipping prices, because we were just doing flat rate before, and so people, like, we were basically just eating cost on shipping every time.
Oh, because it's easier to throw in a flat rate box.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we were just kind of being lazy. So we've gotten a lot more boxes and envelope sizes and stuff, and then the customer is more paying, like, more accurately at the actual weight, which is nice for us.
Yeah. But we had to painstakingly, and when I say we, I mean Luke,
yeah,
put in the weight of all the items that are on the website.
Right.
So that way it calculates for them.
Oof.
And then, so, like, you know, if someone buys one Silver Eagle, they're going to pay $4.95 for the shipping instead of the $9.95.
Right.
But we are using, you know, bubble mailers for those instead of a flat rate.
Right. But in the same way, like, when someone was getting a 35-pound Benny bag, it's costing us $17. They pay $9.95, whereas now they pay the $17. So it's more evenly dispersed to what you act like, what it's costing us, it's costing you now. But for most people, they actually end up saving money or paying the same, so it's not a big deal. But shipping is, especially if you have people that they want to ship FedEx or they want to ship UPS, it's like, okay, cool, that's probably double what the flat rate would be. And they probably, you know, we have one guy, amazing customer, orders all the time, but it's like he's paying $9.95, and then we ship $25 or $30. Like, we pay $30 to ship it FedEx, you know?
Sure. For him, I don't mind that.
For him, like,
because he spends a couple $100 a week.
He's one of our top dogs, so, and he tips us. Like,
yeah, he does. So another thing. Our website, you can put on there, like, if you want them to tip you. So, he's tipped over, he has tipped over $60.
Yeah, in, like, the last few weeks. I think, it's like a drop-down menu, and it's just, like, you can either do percentage, so, like, 3, 5, you know, 8% of your order, or you can do, like, a custom amount. And so I think he just, like, clicks one of the percentages for the most of the time.
Thanks for lunch, my guy.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, he pays the shipping, he pays a little bit of tip. And so, like, great customer, but, you know, we're eating more on shipping to, like, get the tip, basically.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's fine with us.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
But that can't be every customer, you know? Yeah. You can't lose $15 on every single order shipping. So, yeah, it's tough when all of your products get shipped out, you know? Like, that's all that we do. You got to be a lot, like, tighter on your margins.
Yeah.
It adds up over time. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, I think USPS has probably gone up, like, 2, maybe 3 times since I started. And, like, I haven't been here long at all.
It literally feels like every other week, I swear, because
it's
I
like,
see
all right,
it.
Another 10 cents.
Yeah.
Another 20 cents. Mm-hmm. Another dollar. It's like, bro.
Yeah.
This flat rate is outrageous. And they make the small so small, you can't get anything in the small. So
it's
you have
true.
To use a medium.
It's like the small, the difference
surprised.
Between the small and the medium.
You'd be
We've started taking a small box and putting it in the padded envelopes because we find we can get put a bigger box in the padded envelopes.
Mm.
So, and it's only like,
smart.
What, a quarter more or something?
Yeah, a quarter more.
Yeah. That's something to think about.
Smart. See, the hacks, the shipping hacks. That's what we need.
If it bulges, it ships.
If it bulges, it ships. That's right. Yeah.
One last question.
Okay.
So, you guys are mostly like dealer to dealer, some retail at the store. Obviously, we're kind of a different machine because we deal mostly with the retail customers, and obviously we have a magazine and a website, but you guys don't currently have a website, right?
We have a website, we just don't do e-commerce through the website.
Have you thought about doing that?
So it's me and Wes doing everything pretty much every day. And no, we've thought about it. It's just like, we're not organized enough to do it, and we would not do it well. And the last thing I want is somebody screaming at me over the phone because we dropped the ball, and it would happen.
Sure.
So
we tried eBay for a hot minute, and the guys we had doing that just were not ideal.
Yeah, did not perform.
Yeah, sure. Because Wes and I couldn't, you know, just like be there to shadow them every second of it, and mistakes were made. And
is it?
We just decided to
mostly like them putting the items on the website, or is
it was them listing them wrong in the wrong category?
Things
and
didn't get
pricing.
Shipped on time.
Yeah,
you know, it was a mess. So we shut that down pretty quick.
Do you have any plans to do that in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I do a little bit, like, and it's just me, and it's only, like, big ticket items. So, you know, we were listing everything before. We may have 40 or 50 auctions up, and it could be anywhere from, you know, a $20 coin to $1,200, $1,300 coin. But right now, I just do it by myself, and I get all the alerts so I know when things need to be done. So
that's kind of how I am with I run the eBay, and I'm pretty strict about everything going out same day, if not the next day at the latest.
He yells at people if it doesn't go out that day.
I'm very strict on the website orders too, because we just don't get that many orders, and there's just no excuse that it can't go out same day. I'm very strict about that. But it's, you know, if you're trying to compete with, you know, say Amazon, which like the coin industry isn't really, but it's like, you know, that's what people expect. They expect same day, next day, you know, shipping. So
they want it in 2 days.
So, you know, like the closest we can get to that, like that's what we need to strive for, especially when it's like the phone's not ringing off the hook. We're not getting 20 orders a day. It's like there's no reason that the orders can't go out every single day. So people are like, you got to chill out. I'm like, no, you got to get with the program. Like, I'm not chilling out anytime soon.
Not happening.
Oh, man. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it there for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you want a question answered on the show, email it to askcoinempire, like the podcast, at gmail.com, and we'll get that answered. And until next time, we'll see you out there.